This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up later in the show, we'll hear about the exhibit King Me, which is being unveiled at the People's Liberty Storefront Gallery later this week. But first, Cincinnati Council voted 7-2 earlier this month to pass an ordinance to improve enforcement of existing wage laws. Cincinnati's the first city in Ohio to pass an ordinance to address wage theft. Cincinnati Vice Mayor and Councilmember David Mann was the author of the ordinance. He joins us along with Cincinnati Interfaith Workers Center Director Brennan Grayson and Manuel Perez, the center's membership coordinator, to talk about wage theft and what protections this new ordinance provides workers. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Brennan, David, and Manuel, thank you for being here this afternoon. Manuel, tell us, what is wage theft? What forms does this take?
Thank you, Mark, for the invitation to the Worker Center, and also hello everyone in the audience. Wage theft is a very common problem, happening not only here in Cincinnati, it's around the country, and it's very common, unfortunately, and affect workers from different industries. This happens across the industries and affect more low-wage and immigrant workers.
So we're talking about things like not paying overtime, not paying minimum wage. Those are typically wage theft issues.
Yes, is the wage theft have different forms. Like you say, when a tip worker work in a restaurant, and a customer pay the tips on debit or credit card, and they don't receive the tips, is one of the forms. Very common happen in the construction industry is misclassification. When the workers, they real workers, but contractor or subcontractor classify them like subcontractors, and it's something happen. The reason they misclassify is to take advantage and don't pay overtime. And also happen when the worker go to work too. And one example is in probably in restaurant industry, like this washer work for a long time, and sometimes the management clock out before he left the work. This happened.
But the main thing is that the employees are not, workers are not getting what they're entitled to, what they're supposed to be getting.
Yes.
How big of a problem is this in Cincinnati, David?
Well, thanks to the testimony of Manuel and others that were brought forward by Brennan Grayson and the Interfaith Workers Organization, it's more common than you would like. And that's bad. Theft is bad. In addition, from the standpoint of the city, when a worker is misclassified or when a worker is not paid what the worker is due, the city loses tax revenues. That's bad. And our ordinance is directed at those who do business with the city. And we're saying if you do business with the city and you cheat and we find out, and there's going to be a new energy to seeking out those who do cheat, we're going to cancel your contract with the city. If you've received any kind of subsidy, often we provide grants, we sell property below market, we're going to insist on having back the deal that you had. And if it's egregious enough, we're going to debar you, which means you're not going to do business with the city for a period of years. So these are some tools and new energy, and I'm excited about reducing what is a very serious problem. And as Manuel indicated, often the victims are those for whom English is a second language, those who don't have power, those of whom advantage can be taken.
So it sounds like what this is doing is giving teeth to the existing wage laws.
Absolutely.
You're not creating new law with this.
We're saying there are a set of laws, most of which are enforced by other federal and state agencies. But we're saying if you do business with the city and we have a complaint, we're going to do what we can to make sure that you do right by your workers and by the city who is providing the revenues for your contract.
Brennan, what kind of impact does wage theft have?
Wage theft has a major impact on the families that are experiencing wage theft. We have families in Price Hill. We have families in Carthage. We have families in Clifton Heights, all of whom are, with the current wage theft cases we have right now at the center, waiting to be paid by their employer. And we were surprised to learn that many of the wage cases that are affecting these local families were for work performed on projects where there is a tie-in with the city development. So, for instance, we had a case that resolved recently involving misclassified construction workers who were working on a frat house just off the Clifton campus, and they were not paid their wages. And they came to the Worker Center looking for their full wages due. We helped them to recover the wages, and in the process, we learned that the frat house involved had a tax abatement as part of the development deal to reconstruct this project. So that's when we began looking at how we could use these economic development projects as a way of sending a message, not just to developers, say, hey, we're open for business, but to send a message on down the contracting chain to say, hey, if you're working on a city-supported project, we expect everyone to benefit economically, not just those at the top. And that's why I really commend, and the Worker Center really commends the vice mayor here, because they came up with a program that would really do holistic economic development. So if you're on an economic development project, you have a right to dignity and respect and to your full wages. And this ordinance will help see to that.
513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. Any idea in terms of dollar amount? David, you mentioned that this impacts local governments in terms of the revenue they take in. Any idea in terms of dollar amounts?
I don't know, but as part of the deliberation by the council, Brennan gave us a listing of, what was it, 80 companies?
We did a list with some research of the top 100 Department of Labor wage theft violations in the city of Cincinnati for the last 5 years.
And so some very familiar companies. Not all these companies do business with the city, but each of these companies, to the extent that their violations took place in the city, probably cost the city revenues. Because they're not reporting their payments to those workers or wages from which taxes are withheld. And guess what? If you're getting paid in cash or you're treated as a subcontractor or an independent contractor, the likelihood is that the city never sees any tax revenues from you.
Mm-hmm. And also to give the audience idea, Worker Center since in 2005 is almost 11 years later, we helping workers to recover more than $1 million in stolen wages. It's a little amount, the big amount they lose every year in the city.
Wow, a million?
Yes, more than $1 million in stolen wages.
And Mark, we just got a phone call today from a case that the Worker Center helped do the translation for at Princeton High School, and we have learned that over $100,000 has just been paid back to Latino workers who helped develop Princeton High School. That we just got that news today.
Wow. So this has a big impact, great big impact in this area. I mean, not just on tax revenue, but on the families and the individual workers who are affected by this.
The human beings.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as far as this new law or new ordinance, I should say, because it's not really a new law. It's not creating new wage laws. David, who exactly does this protect? You're talking about it applies to people who have contracts with the city and who do work with the city.
Exactly.
But who exactly is this protecting?
Well, for instance, there are a lot of apartment projects being constructed in the Central Business District. They've received tax abatements. Some of them have received real estate that was written down and sold at less than its value. They've received outright grants. And if any of the contractors or subcontractors, and Brennan is right, sometimes the contractors have adopted a see no, hear no, speak no evil attitude. But we're saying if any of your subcontractors or the subcontractors of your subcontractors are in violation, we're going to come back and look at you. So we're trying to put some pressure on the contractors to make sure they have responsible subs who follow the law. GE got a tremendous tax support for the building that's being built down at the banks. Mercy Health Network is building a massive, great new building along the Norwood Lateral with a lot of city support. There, almost any development in the city these days receives some city support and will be subject to these rules. And as you say, what the ordinance does is give us new tools of enforcement. We're not changing the law. We're just saying if you're doing business with the city, we're going to make extra sure that you follow the law.
Manuel, tell me about the role you played, the center played in getting this passed.
Okay. The role is the idea came from our Worker Justice Committee. We have a meeting with workers every other week on Tuesday. And Always we are struggling, people calling about this situation, and it's we like firefighters go every place to try to fix the problem. But we thinking we want to go to the root and fix this problem. And the committee suggests a start campaign. The name of the campaign is Just Pay Sinsit, just for sure this don't happen with the workers here
and,
in the
city. And, you know, the way the political structure works, we tend to be reactive. A problem is brought to us. We spend time hearing out the victims, taking a look at possible tools, and came up with a solution that will address part of the problem. Now, the part of the problem it doesn't address, and we'll have to look to that in the future, is activity in this city that has nothing to do with the city. But there
exactly.
are construction contractors building things just now in the city that we don't have these levers over. But that doesn't mean that we're happy that they're violating the law. So one thing can lead to the other, I hope, over time.
And
or maybe a new culture that says, you know, this is something we need to pay attention to. I mean, as somebody said at one of our meetings, who can be against prohibition of wage theft? I mean, explain to me why you could be against a rule that says we're not going to allow wage theft.
Right, and it's kind of amazing that you have to have a law that tells employers you have to pay your people.
Right, right.
And Mark, I think it's part of has become part of the cost of doing business. The penalties that are out there just aren't doing it, and it's creating a culture where it's easier to get caught than to do the right thing. And what Vice Mayor Mann's ordinance has done is changed that, turned it on its head, so that those who are on these city development projects will know it's going to be smarter for us to see to it that people are treated with dignity. We want wage theft-free zones on these projects, and that's what we have, zero tolerance now for wage theft on these projects. And if people want to get involved with how to expand and how to build this, then please go to our website, www.cworkers.org, that's cworkers.org, and give us a call, 513-621-5991. That's our worker rights hotline, and you can also find out there how to get involved.
Well, and we have links to that and the phone number as well at our website, wvxu.org. Brennan, is there a reluctance on the part of workers, though, to report this when this is happening? I mean, you're trying to keep your job. Maybe you're reluctant to rat out your employer and say they're doing something terrible here. I mean, do you run into that?
Mark, fear drives people. It's a human thing. And fear on the job is part of the picture here. Workers are reluctant, like you say, to come forward. And usually they have to have either some education or some agitation, some appreciation that they've been treated unjustly so that they will come forward. Our role in the community is to surround them with support and say, we are with you and we will not let you be retaliated against. It's illegal, of course, to retaliate against anyone for filing a complaint for unpaid wages, but it's the fear that people have that something negative will happen to them. And we want to try to neutralize that fear by being a community center where people feel protected in coming forth and also influencing policy so that the workers know, hey, the city is on my side. You know, if I file a complaint in the city for unpaid wages, the employer can't scare me away from pursuing what's legally mine. I've got an ally at the city. And I think that will really do a lot to what David spoke to about changing the culture in Cincinnati.
We'll continue our conversation about wage theft and Cincinnati's new ordinance to fight it. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and we're talking about Cincinnati's new ordinance against wage theft with Cincinnati Vice Mayor and Councilman David Mann, along with Cincinnati Interfaith Workers Center Director Brennan Grayson and Manuel Perez, the membership coordinator at the center. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. David, who's going to enforce this for the city?
Well, it's a good question. We have a new Office of Economic Inclusion headed up by Tom Corey, and this area is being added to his portfolio because it fits in with some of what he's responsible for doing, which fundamentally is to make sure that the city achieves its new commitment to economic inclusion of minority business enterprises in city contracting. So he has a lot of interface and communication with contractors. One of the reasons he was brought to the city to head up this office is because of his experience in investigations and the like. So this falls rather naturally in his area, and I think he's fairly excited about adding it to his job description.
And we got an email from Kathleen. She wanted to know what other cities have this kind of law or policy. Ohio is the first, or Cincinnati is the first in Ohio, but not the first in the country, right, Manuel?
Oh, yes. This is the importance about the ordinance, too. It's the first city in Ohio pass the ordinance.
Yes.
And many cities around the country, like Chicago and cities in Florida, they pass ordinance. It's not only Cincinnati. And a lot of cities put attention on this problem. And those don't surprise us in the future, in a few years, I don't think too long, a big movement in all the states and in one point to the federal level.
513-419-7100, and Eric and Over the Rhine joins us now. Hi, Eric.
Hey, yeah. First of all, I want to just thank Manuel and Brennan for the incredible work they and everyone at the Interfaith Center does, and thanks Councilman Mann for the support for the ordinance. But even, obviously, when wage theft is decreased, people are still being paid poverty wages and are being paid unlivable wages, really. So I'm wondering when Cincinnati will jump on the Fight for 15 campaign and follow the leadership of some other cities in raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Okay. Eric, thank you.
Well, the first thing I believe is going to be looked at, and I don't want to take away from some things that I think are going to be announced this spring, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that wage level being provided for all city workers and also on all city construction contracts. But we'll just have to see how that unfolds. But it's a legitimate area to ask about, and it's being looked at.
Again, 513-419-7100. Bill in Covington joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Hey, I'm an independent contractor. I'm an electrical contractor. But I'm a sole proprietor, and I don't have any employees. And a lot of my friends that are in the same situation I'm in are just refusing to work in Cincinnati because it's getting so horrendous with the paperwork. Last job I did in Cincinnati was about a month ago, and they were working with grants from the city of Cincinnati. And I probably spent 2 hours in my office doing paperwork to justify my right to do that job.
Hmm. David?
Well, obviously, as we all get more familiar with any regulations and rules, it should become more efficient. But basically, when city funds are involved, I think we're going to insist on certain the achievement of appropriate public goals. So other than hoping that as you become more familiar and the city becomes more familiar with this paperwork, obviously what you're talking about could have nothing to do with the new wage theft ordinance, I'd be glad to see if I can help put you in touch with some folks in the city to make it more efficient next time around.
David, was there any opposition to the bill from the business community or from contractors when this was going through the works?
No, that was one of the interesting things. I think at first the Chamber of Commerce was wary, but it was looked at by some representatives from the chamber, representatives from the contractors industry, and the chamber did not oppose it, which was a very powerful, I think, expression of the reality that nobody can defend wage theft. And so I was very pleased with that, and I salute the chamber for acting accordingly.
Mark, it does need to be pointed out, though, for anyone who didn't follow it closely, that there were two no votes, and there was an unfriendly amendment from council members Murray and Winburn that was soundly rejected. The amendment was misguided and confused, and it would seek to exclude people from any kind of protection from this ordinance if they did not have work authorization. And why that's so confused, Mark, is because federal and state law is clear that if you've worked, you deserve to be paid. You can't be stolen from. So the amendment would have created a real mess and have been a real been incredibly out of whack with longstanding precedent in federal and state law under Republican and Democrat administration. So it really came out of left field, and we're glad that it was swatted back to where it belongs.
It was bizarre because if you listen to it, the effect would be to encourage contractors and subcontractors who want to cheat to hire undocumented workers. And yet the whole argument was we can't have undocumented workers in our city. Well, you know, excuse me, but it's okay to cheat them, and we want to encourage people with whom we do business to cheat in that way. It was one of the weirder discussions I've experienced on the floor of council.
And it's go ahead, Brennan.
And Mark, you know, those types of attitudes really don't belong in City Hall and on City Council. So our hope is to help educate those who came out against it so that they can understand the issues a little better. Or, you know, if that doesn't work, then hopefully someone, you know, with, you know, a more enlightened approach will step up, and we can have leadership in the city that really reflects all the way down the line where working people and, you know, enlightened folks in Cincinnati are coming from on this issue, which is if you work, you should get paid.
And David, it's the arguments against her moot now because the city's law does cover undocumented workers.
So just a strange few minutes on the floor of council.
Manuel?
And something important to add is when we're running our campaign, we put attention in the business community. A few business people support the ordinance. And also it's very important to say to the community, we have very ethical business here in the city. And we know few of them have zero tolerance for this kind of situation. And also, like the two calls before about the subcontractor, we know we have ethical subcontractors. When you ethical, you don't have problem with the city and this kind of the activities with the city and the business. And also take the opportunity to say thank you to the community. We have a lot of support from the community, the religious community, labor community, and people like Eric, they all were supporting the worker center. And of course, when we want change, we want start now to increase the wages for the workers.
Brennan, what are some things people can do to be more aware? How can a victim be more aware of when wage theft is happening? I mean, it sounds like it's something that if you're not paying attention, it might get by you.
Well, I think the one thing to know is that if you have a union at your workplace, that's a good place to start because you have an advocate there on the job who can help you. If you don't have an advocate there on the job, then contact the worker center. We have a worker rights hotline, 621-5991, and we will do trainings. We have new cases all the time, and before we start a new case, we always start with training and education because we want to help people identify issues and prevent them. Because no one wants to be in court or having to call a government agency to get their paycheck. They just want to know their rights and enforce them right there on the spot and get paid. And we want to lift up people so that they're educated and they're able to nip this thing in the bud.
And David, you talked about possible expansion of this. Where does the city head next with this issue?
Well, let's get this ordinance. It's an implementation thoroughly in place. See how that changes the culture in our community. And then if there are additional problems that we become aware of, we'll take a look at whether other city action is appropriate.
Okay. Any idea how long it might be?
No, but I have a feeling Manuel and Brennan will appropriately be quick to let us know if we haven't solved the problem.
Okay. That's what they will.
That's what I want them to do.
Right. And Manuel mentioned, we have, groups like the Women's City Club, the Catholic Church. With the testimony that came to City Council that day was really very powerful and moving. Individual workers like Leopoldo Morales came and spoke directly to City Council members. And, just while we have a moment, I think the chair of that committee wanted to bump this down the road and say, oh, we'll talk about this later. And one of our members, Leopoldo Morales, spoke directly to council and they couldn't help but ask him questions. Hey, what is this wage theft and how did you experience it? And they wanted to know more. And it was through his testimony that really changed the whole flavor of the debate. And we were just on the agenda kind of to be heard from and then to move on. And what happened was a whole hour-long discussion and a hearing developed out of this one worker's testimony that just created the urgency to get the bill passed now. It didn't seem like there was any reason to wait. And that's just the power that individual workers have when they come forward and they tell the truth about their experience.
Well, Brendan, David, and Manuel, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mark. Good to be here.
Cincinnati Vice Mayor and Councilman David Mann, along with Cincinnati Interfaith Workers Center Director Brennan Grayson, and Manuel Perez, the membership coordinator at the Cincinnati Interfaith Workers Center. Coming up, a look at a new photo exhibit that explores the importance for men of color to be able to better understand their value. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.